Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL on CBS game every week on Paramount Plus.
I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I wish I had a better voice that sang some better words. I wish I found some chords in an order that is new. I wish I didn't have to rhyme every time I sang. I was told when I get older all my fears would shrink. But
all right, 206, McMonagle here with you on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Just talked a little Jets there. I heard the comment there from Mendy about Severino. And I was listening, I'll be fair, I was listening to Evan and I heard it there. And I was thinking about this too, as we're talking about Luis Gil and the innings. You know, Severino has hardly pitched. And he's been great this year. And I didn't want him traded. And I'm glad they got off. The team played well enough to forget this whole buying, selling nonsense. And, you know, on that angle though, to divert for a second, I mean, I heard me and Fliegelman were talking about this yesterday, and Fliegelman is a big, you know, he wants to build for the future. He likes this team. He believes in this team. But he, you know, he likes the idea of finally having a competent GM that can build up the team. He feels like they haven't had that in forever. So that's almost as appealing to him as winning this year. But, I mean, in this market, imagine if the Mets didn't have this run here and they were able to sell the way I'm sure Stearns wanted to. You could have got a ton for Severino in this market. You could have got it. You know, the player return was a little, some of them were really high, some of them were lesser. But, like, you could have got something for Martinez. You could have got something for Severino, Manaea. Like, the Mets really could have done really well at the trade deadline if they were sellers, because it was a seller's market. But the team played too well, and Stearns did the right thing. But the one thing about Severino, and Evan's right, he just hasn't pitched. And we talk about Luis Gil for the Yankees, and that's fair. He hasn't pitched either. But you have to go back to 2018, the last time Severino had a full year of pitching. He threw 190 innings that year. That's the last time he's come anywhere near the numbers he's going to approach, you would figure, this year. So I'm not saying that's necessarily the reason he didn't pitch well yesterday and why he gave up five consecutive hits to start the third and just had a bad outing. Could just be a bad outing. But it's definitely something the Mets are going to have to monitor moving forward. The amount, you know, he just hasn't thrown the innings. And I guess the velocity was a little bit down yesterday. And he's been such a huge part of this rotation. I mean, he's been dynamite. So, I mean, he's very important moving forward. I still think the offense is what's the most important. I mean, it's what's got them here. How the offense goes is literally how the team is played. At the beginning of the year, they were dreadful, right? I mean, specifically, Lindor, Nimmo didn't get off to a great start. But really, Lindor got off to a terrible start. Alonso really hasn't hit all year. Then you lost Alvarez, and the offense was sputtering. J.D. Martinez wasn't here for a while to start the year, and that's why they got off to the start they got off to. But they're winning because they hit. And since the All-Star break, if you take away the two games, whether the second game against the Yankees where they scored 12, and then the first game of this Minnesota series where they scored 15, besides that, the offense has been rather inconsistent. So they got to get the offense going now. Right, still Vientos, who, you know, Vientos is, right now, he's got a 900 OPS. He's on pace for about 27, 28 home runs. And that opposite field home run he hit yesterday, those are things that power hitters do. Now, I know it didn't leave the ballpark or anything. It wasn't a dynamic moonshot opposite field. But I didn't think he hit that ball at all. I thought that was going to be a flyout. Actually, I thought it was going to be a foul ball when I first saw it off the bat. And to carry that oppo at Citi Field, he's having a special run of it here. And now when you think about the future of this team to where he was at the start of the year, when I remember I was filling in for Sal. I don't know if Sal was moving that day or whatever, but then again, every time I mention Sal's name, I want to say thank you again, Sal, the Yankees are dead and the Mets killed them. Since that moment, the Yankees are 1-6, 1-5 over the last six games. Thank you. 5-1, excuse me. 1-5, idiot. 5-1. Thank you, Sal. But I don't know if Sal was off that day or whatever. Clearly he was. I was filling in for him. I don't know if he was moving that day. I forget. But I was in with BT the day they signed, or the morning after they signed JD Martinez. And Sal called in and was almost as happy to say goodbye to Vientos as he was to say hello to JD Martinez. And I think that's how a lot of, you know, it wasn't so much that you didn't want him, you just didn't believe that him and Beatty together were going to be good enough offensively to really give you a potent lineup. You needed one more bat. And to move him down, you wanted to get a look at him at the start of the year. That was so much of the talking point, was to get a look at Vientos and Beatty, right? Get a look at the young players. You knew what Alvarez was, even though he's been hampered by injuries a little bit and hasn't played a ton, still relatively young. But, I mean, he showed you enough where you had an idea of what Alvarez was. You wanted to see Beatty, you wanted to see Vientos. And then to have him sent down as soon as JD Martinez came here, I remember that day I was saying, well, okay, it's good. I don't know how much better it makes the Mets, and now you don't get a look at Vientos. And they sent down the wrong guy, because Beatty has been now, I think when he first went down, he was killing it in AAA. I don't know if, I haven't paid attention to what Beatty's been doing in the minor leagues lately, but I'm sure he's killing it. I think he's a quadruple A player. That's just what he is. He's going to mash at AAA, and he's going to struggle up here on some level. Could I foresee him? I don't think he's capable of doing what Vientos is doing right now, but could he be a serviceable major leaguer hitter? Maybe. He certainly took leaps and bounds. So is Vientos, but he took leaps and bounds defensively, much better than Vientos, although he's solid. But now Vientos is, I mean, he's a fixture in this team. He's on his way to being a middle of the order guy for this Met team for the next handful of years. Part of the real solution, part of the real, you know, infrastructure of built to win is going to be Mark Vientos. That's how he's playing right now, and that's the swings he's getting off. And that swing yesterday, where he didn't hit it well at all, I think he was out in front of it, actually, and got off at the end of the bat, and still carried out to right field. He's been incredible. As Nimmo's kind of come back to earth, and obviously Alonso, who's been better since the All-Star break, couple of big home runs, couple of meaningless home runs. I always find it baffling, the amount of people who get on guys for hitting home runs. It's amazing to me. But as I started this conversation, I'm not so worried about the offense. I believe in the offense. They've been good enough for long enough where I do think top to bottom they're good. You're going to get Marte back. You know, offensively he was pretty good this year. Wasn't great, wasn't dynamic, had his moments. Really defensively he hurt you more than offensively. But him coming back should help a little bit, but ultimately I just, you know, and we'll see how much playing time that affects Iglesias now that McNeil is hitting. But I'm really concerned about what I perceive the weakness to be of this team moving at the start of the year was the rotation, and now, you know, just the idea of Severino in those innings. It's something to monitor, the amount of innings. I mean, you're talking about Severino pitching. Like, let's look over it again. Severino's innings over the last handful of years. In 2018, Luis Severino threw 191 innings in 2018. The only two innings he really threw anything was 17, 193, and 18, 191. In 2019, he threw 12 innings. In 2020, he didn't pitch. In 2021, he threw 6 innings. In 2022, he threw 102 innings. And last year, he threw 89. So if you work backwards, 89, 102, 6, didn't pitch, 12. That's his last 5 years. And now he's already at 120, which surpasses anything he's done since 2018. Now, I'm not saying and that probably doesn't even include this, you know, this is on Baseball Reference. They usually take a day. So what did he throw 4 innings yesterday?
I mean, and he's now eclipsed his starts his start total since 2018.
Correct. He's had more. I think I would guess as yesterday was his 21st. So he's already got at least two more starts than anything he's done since 2018. It's a lot. It's a big jump. And it's not because, you know, obviously the reason he wasn't pitching was injuries. Significant injuries. And last year, borderline unpitchable. That's how bad he was for the Yankees last year. But not that I'm overly concerned. I'm sure he'll bounce back next start. But it is something to monitor. Let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. We opened it up to your football calls. We'll get to the Giants as well. We did a big thing on the Jets. I'd love to hear from Jet fans as football season has started, how excited you are, how optimistic you are, what you guys are thinking of right now. And then Giants, will get to you. Signed a new offensive lineman. What does that mean for Evan Neal? But back to your baseball calls. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Big Mac. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. Before I make my Met point, I was at the game last night, and just a heads up, if you go to a Met game, you got to try the Rainbow Cookie Egg Roll.
I've heard about this. I've actually seen it, the Rainbow Cookie Egg Roll.
I finally tried it. It's a rainbow cookie covered in jam and chocolate syrup inside of an egg roll. It's delicious.
I mean, listen, I'm a who isn't a rainbow cookie fan? I don't know if it's my number one favorite cookie, but it's in the top two or three, easy.
It's got to be up there with the Linzer Tart.
Yeah, my wife loves Linzer Tarts. They're okay. I wouldn't put Linzer Tarts in my top five, probably. But rainbow cookie, definitely. Rainbow cookie is up there. And in an egg roll, listen, you wrap anything up and deep fry it. I mean, it's hard to say no.
Exactly.
So, exactly. I'm going to Camden Yards for the first time in my life. At the end of August, I'm going to see them play the Red Sox on a Saturday night.
Cool.
On my way down. Yeah, so I'm curious, like, I wonder if I'm going to get, they have like a soft shell crab sandwich or something. I wonder what's their ballpark food. And that's what made me think of it. I wonder what, I got to check out the ballpark food at Camden Yards. But yeah, City is notorious for their excellent food. There is no doubt. City Field is known for its good food, and I would love to try the deep fried egg roll 7-layer rainbow cookie.
Good stuff. Look at Beatty's hitting about 280. He's playing a lot of second base, actually. He's playing like second base almost every day, so they're giving that a shot. And he's not tearing it up, but he's hitting, you know, he's hitting fairly well.
Right. He's got a 900 OPS in minor league. Yeah. So he's doing well. Maybe not killing it. Maybe it was a hot start, slow down, that's all plausible, but whatever it is, you know he's good enough to hit down there.
Yeah. But you're spot on. I think the Mets are going to go as far as the offense. What has me worried is that San Diego and Arizona are red hot. I think that I think Atlanta's Atlanta. I still think they got bats. They got a good pitching staff. I think they're going to make it, and I think San Diego's going to make it. I think the team you got to keep an eye on if you're a Mets fan is Arizona, because they have one of the hardest schedules in baseball.
Yep.
San Diego has an easy schedule along with the Yankees, and the Mets have if the Mets get an August close, I think we have a chance. Arizona's the team you got to keep an eye on, and St. Louis. And you're right. We're going to go as far as this lineup. I think Winker was the big pickup. I think he's going to hit for us. I think, you know, we're a deep lineup. The Mets got a really deep lineup if you look around baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, we have as deep a lineup as anybody.
No doubt. Oh, I don't think there's a doubt. The Mets lineup is as deep as anyone's, 100%. Yeah, you're right. Listen, right now the Padres are red hot. They've won 9 of 10, including 2 in a row. The Diamondbacks have won 3 in a row and a 7 out of their last 10. With a couple, I saw the walk-off home run from Corbin Carroll, who got off to a terrible start to this year. They've been coming around. And listen, the Padres are always, I mean, listen, they're super talented. They've got a bunch of great players, they added arms to the bullpen. I mean, they added Scott to the bullpen. Their bullpen should be dynamic. They got Dylan Cease at the top of the rotation. You know, they're good. They're really good. So that's and they've jumped the Mets here.
You know what it is, Chris? You look at this. I'm a big believer in looking at the schedule, but you can never tell. Look, the Yankees, when you saw Philly on the schedule, said, wow, if we get past Philly. But look, Harper's, you know, Harper's 1-for-30.
Yeah, I know. He's in the middle of a tough stretch. And thankfully, they got out right before he got hot, hit into a double play to end the game last night. Yesterday. You're right. You line up for a series, because if I would have told you after Friday night, like that's the thing for me. Like after Friday night, if you would have told me as a Yankee fan that they were going to win the next five games, they were going to take the next two in Boston and then go into Philadelphia and sweep when you were going to get Wheeler and Nola in that series, I would have never guessed it in a million years.
Is Harper still better than Judge?
Yeah, I haven't heard from Bryce's dad recently.
I don't mean to pick on that guy. Harper's a Hall of Famer. But I mean, come on. I mean, Judge, I'm a Mets fan, and Judge is just. Why? Can I ask you a question?
Please.
I didn't see much of the Yankee Red Sox series, but why are these teams like? Why don't they just do what the Mets did?
Oh, why do they pitch? You mean why didn't the great Alex Cora, the best manager in baseball, the guy who manages circles around Aaron Boone, why he pitched to Judge in every single big spot of that entire series? Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What are you in positions to pitch around them when they just wanted to challenge him? I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
No, I mean, there was a couple of situations where they probably had to pitch to him, but and thank you for the call. But no, Alex Cora, the great, all-knowing, all-powerful Alex Cora, who embarrasses the Yankees with his coaching style every time they play each other, pitched to him in every big situation and got beat in every big situation. Make of that what you will. I'm so sick of hearing about Alex Cora and how he outmanages Aaron Boone. I'm not saying he's not even a better manager. I'm not saying he's not a better manager than Aaron Boone. He's won a World Series title. I'm willing to say he's a better manager than Aaron Boone, but it's like that's the dynamic that shapes the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry over the last few years, is how he outmanages Aaron Boone is stupid. It's just stupid. Because it's just not true. Now, Alex Cora's a better manager than Aaron Boone. Fine, I'm not going to argue that with you. But the idea that that's the overriding theme we all take from it, and that's where the Yankees don't measure up, so stupid. He pitched the Judge in every big spot. Every single one. He didn't even think about walking him. Didn't even think about it. Didn't even consider it. I have a tough time with that argument. I hate that one. I see every single time they lose to the Red Sox, I go on Twitter, that's what I see. Oh, here's Alex Cora pushing every right button. He brought in a reliever and immediately gave up. Even in the game they won, he brings in Kelly to pitch the Judge and Austin Wells, and they both hit home runs back-to-back. He's pushing every right button while Boone's an idiot. People are nuts. And have you seen Nick Totoro? He's really just like now every video. And I feel, I watched one of his recent videos and I felt better about my life, because in one of his videos, he's like in his living room and his living room is just covered with toys. I guess he has young grandchildren or children. I don't know. I shouldn't say grandchildren. I know he's a little bit older, but it's either his grandkids or his kids, young grandchildren living with him or staying with him. And his living room is just, there's toys everywhere. And I can relate. I have that exact same living room with everything all over, and I haven't bothered to clean it up yet. I've done videos and then just said, you know what? Twitter is a ruthless place, and I don't feel like putting up the video and everybody saying, oh, my God, you got toys all over the place. You mess. Like, I'm too self-conscious. I got to be more like Marash and just not give a damn what I look like, what I say, what I do. Because, like, I've made videos after Yankee victories, and I'm like, eh. It's like, they're going to get on me for this, or my big toe is in it for a second. I have nothing but like zoomed in pictures of my big toe all over the internet. No, thanks. I don't need it. But I got to start doing more. I got to start going to more games too. Once the kids get back to school, September, I'm going to games, son. Can't wait. And Evan has invited me to every single playoff baseball game the city has to offer. So let's go, Mets. That's what he said. He didn't say that he said we were going, and he didn't say he was going to buy me tickets or take me with him, but I'm assuming that. He's not going to make me buy my own tickets, is he? But I was told I'm part of that plan. Hold the bargain, Evan. Hold up your end of the bargain. You said we're going to every single New York City playoff game. Actually, I think you said teams, too. I think we're traveling. We're taking this thing on the road. We're going to every, like, so if the season ended right now, which unfortunately for the Mets would put them out of the playoffs. But say they're the third wild card just for craps and giggles. All right, so if they're the third wild card, they would play the division, the third division winner, which would be the Milwaukee Brewers. I'd go to Milwaukee right now. Let's go. Let's go see a little Mets Brewers. And the Yankees are the first wild card, so they would take on the second wild card. And that would be, in the wild card series, that would be Minnesota Twins. Let's go. You think the Yankees are winning that series? Actually, Minnesota and Kansas City are tied. I'll go to Kansas City for the barbecue.
If Minnesota comes to Yankee City, like, do they make the trip?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Obviously, I wouldn't be going anywhere. The Mets would be going to Milwaukee. The Yankees would be home from Minnesota, Kansas City. But, yes, do they even make the trip or they just call it? Listen, we don't need to do this again. Congratulations. See you in the ALDS.
Well, okay, so let's paint the picture. The Mets are in Milwaukee.
Right.
Evan's offering to take you, pay for the tickets, but you have your press pass this year to Yankee Stadium.
I do.
Would you miss Yankee Twins? You're like, it's just the Twins in the press box to go with Evan to see the Milwaukee versus the Mets series.
I would be so confident they'd beat the Twins.
That's my point.
And
you'll have other playoff games.
Right,
to go
and if
to.
He promised me he's taking me to like Baltimore, and we're all going to Baltimore to see the Yankees in Baltimore, where I don't have a press credential, then I would probably take that gamble. Like if he gave me the one of the things like, hey, you're all in or you're all out, you're out. So like you're coming with me to Milwaukee, or you're not taking any more of this ride with us, then I would probably go to Milwaukee. Now, it would be tough. They don't play the games at the same time all the time,
It wouldn't be the same time. But
right,
if you're that's why it has
right,
to
yeah,
be
no, I wouldn't. I would miss at least one of the games or whatever.
In person.
Yeah,
you'd watch the game live, but you'd miss it in person. Yes.
Yeah. But then if he promised me going to Baltimore, which is where they would probably go next, assuming they're the first wild card, which would mean to me that the Orioles won the division and probably have a better record. Although it could be Cleveland. I mean, they're right there, too. Cleveland's in a lesser division, I guess, even though they have two playoff teams in it, but the Yankees are better. I mean, who knows? It could be Cleveland. They would play the number one seed, which would either be Cleveland or Minnesota. It wouldn't be Seattle or Houston. But Houston did do me the favor. I called them out. I threatened them. I told them I wanted to see them in the playoffs because the Yankees owe them revenge, and I am still on that. I don't care. Call me whatever you want. You want to call me a jinx like Licata? I don't care. I want Yankees Astros so bad I can taste it. I want revenge. I don't want it as much as I want a championship. Don't get me wrong. I want the championship. But I want revenge. Give me Yankees Astros right now. I would love it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Continue to take your phone calls. We've opened it up to football and baseball. Football tonight, Hall of Fame game. And, of course, both teams will be off tomorrow on Thursday as the Mets look to head out west and the Yankees come home for a long homestand here, trying to get back 5 games in a row. A couple of interesting things happened in this series. We get more into the baseball games, more into some of the integral parts of the series and the games. And, of course, take your phone calls, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at-bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
So, you know, as tonight will be the Hall of Fame game, Bears versus Texans. The Hall of Fame game does do one thing for me. It reminds me, obviously, that football's coming back, but I got to start doing some fantasy football prep. That's really like, all right, the Hall of Fame game's here. It's time to start. I'm in like a big, pick 'em thing that I joined with my buddies, so I got to start thinking about looking at the teams, just doing some football prep for the show and for the amount of fantasy things, which, by the way, I have to cancel. I have to do so. I have to make a phone call that I don't want to make. I hate backing out of fantasy leagues, but I have to. I have to cut one because now my son, my brother-in-law, who I love, that idiot, suggested with us and some of his baseball buddies and stuff but to do a father-son fantasy football league, which is a nice idea. And my son will probably be into it until we start losing, and then he'll blame me for it and say, I'm quitting this stupid thing. You're the worst GM of all time, Dad. I can see that coming very easily. But so now I'm probably adding another fantasy football team. It won't be for legitimate money or something. It'll be with the kids or whatever. But it'll be another team I'll have to focus on, and I'm in five already. Because the thing is, I'm a popular guy. People know me a little bit, and they all know I'm a big sports fan. So like a million, the guys, I move into a new neighborhood, I have a couple of fantasy football league fans. Everyone's asking me, and I always say yes. I'm in too many. I got to pick one. There's two that are up for grabs. That if I'm going to whittle this down to four, I know it's between one of two teams I want to quit. I just have to make my mind up and make an uncomfortable call. But as I'm doing this fantasy football prep and deciding who is going to lose the services of McMonagle in their fantasy football leagues, a very surprising new source of information will be there for you and I to look and watch and get fantasy football information from. A source I never would have guessed. Someone who never in a million years would have jumped out at me as someone who would want to do a fantasy football video. A weekly fantasy football show. I would have never have guessed this person. But you know what? We've learned a lot from this person lately. They do things, you know, he's more willing to do roasts. He's more willing to do out there things. He's, you know, dating younger women. We're learning a lot about Bill Belichick. And add fantasy football host to the myriad of things. A caller called up and said, I love the word myriad. I guess I do. Just came out of my mouth again. But this is a guy who I would have never have guessed fantasy football. I would have thought that he is someone who would scoff at the notion, who would mock fantasy football, who when asked the dopey question would say, what do you think this is, fantasy football? Like, that's the kind of guy I would have guessed Bill Belichick to be, but no. Bill Belichick, who will also co-produce the show for Underdog Fantasy, will have Underdog Fantasy, I partnered with Underdog because Underdog is a sports company run by sports people. They want sports that connect to the fans, and that's what I want to do. I want to find a connection to the fans where I give the fans what they've asked me for in terms of content. Behind-the-scenes information, decision-making that goes on within the organizations, and a breakdown of schematics and personnel within the game. Bring all this real football conversation and decisions to the fans. Underdog wants to do that, and I want to do that. So it's going to be a great fit. Underdog Fantasy is going to have a Bill Belichick fantasy football show. And you know what? I'm in. How could you not be? If you're a fantasy football guy looking for information, now listen, who knows if he'll be right or wrong. We'll see what his track. But like, who could match up defenses and say, well, this guy's going to be a problem. I could see this guy having a good day. How do you not take the word of Bill Belichick? Like, honestly, how could you watch a show and he'll be like, oh, no, listen, this is the one thing they do is, you know, shut down the tight ends. Or I get, like, he doesn't have information about, like, you know, guy's girlfriend broke up with him or, like, some of the stuff that, you know, sports bettors tried to tell you in that dopey movie about with Al Pacino and, I'm forgetting his name, but it was based on Stu Feiner, apparently. Al Pacino and Matthew McConaughey.
Two for the money?
One for the show. Yeah, I think it is.
I think that's the name of the movie.
No, I know. I'm kidding. I think it is two for the money. I think you're right. But, I mean, you're not going to take fantasy football advice from Bill Belichick? You'd have to. I'd have to give it some. I don't know how interesting he's going to be at presenting it. I think Chris Olave is probably going to have a good game this week.
No, well, he did some of those like NFL Network stuff, and he was really compelling in that, right? Like some of the, or I don't remember what it was. Was it like the top, it was the 100 football
game? Well, yeah, he told great stories and stuff and was a little bit more glib than you would have guessed, but actually going through a segment, like he's going to have
needs a host.
Oh, he needs a host.
I mean, are you?
I'm available. Yeah. There's no doubt. Hey, Underdog.
I just looked at their site to see if they have openings.
Yeah, I'm sure
Bill Belichick's co-host.
I'm sure you did.
They offer a $500 home office weekly allowance.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, no, that's not weekly. The weekly something.
Well, the only thing is, I don't know if he'll let you talk as much as I do on this show. So, gotcha.
That's funny.
But yes, no. I would. Yeah, he definitely needs some sort of guy to ask him the questions and bounce stuff off. He's not going to just stand in front of the camera and go, okay, on to the next segment. Do's and don'ts. Like, I just can't imagine Bill Belichick doing anything like that, but it'll be fun. I just saw that story that he's going to do a fantasy football show as I'm getting starting to think about the fantasy football prep. The one dopey league I'm in that has seven keepers. It's pointless. I made a bunch of trades 1 year to go for it, and I'm stuck with a bunch of old players, and you can't get out of it. I went for it for 1 year. It cost me the next three seasons. I mean, there are better men than me who've done a better job in that league, but man, oh man, it's a tough one. But fantasy football's around the corner, all that kind of stuff. Football Fridays. Now we're here, Hall of Fame game tonight. Obviously, still got baseball on the brain for me as I'm focused on this Yankee team, focused on this Met team, focused on the idea of playoff baseball, which is the best. And obviously, these two teams in playoffs, the Mets are a half a game out of the wild card, which, again, is wacky. And, you know, they got at the end of the month, they have a four-game set. Let me look at this again, their schedule. The Mets, they're going to play a four-game set and a three-game set against Arizona and San Diego. That is going to be enormous for them right now. So if you look at the schedule right here for the Mets, one, they have two very long road trips sandwiched by a very long homestand. It's a weird schedule. So they have a 10 game road trip starting on Friday. They've got a weekend set with the Angels. They play one game in St. Louis on Monday. So they got to go from LA or Anaheim to St. Louis, to Colorado, all within 3 days. They don't have a single off day between that. So they're going to play Sunday at 4:07 p.m. Eastern time, 1:07 West Pacific time, obviously. Fly to St. Louis, play a game at 5:15 in St. Louis, and then fly to Colorado and have an 8:40 game in Colorado, and then finish it off with a three-game set in Seattle. Day off on that Monday the 12th. Then they'll come home for their only home games of the month. And they will have a three-game set with the Oakland A's, a three-game set with Miami, who normally, when you talk about bad teams, I would throw, certainly Oakland, I would throw Miami in there. The only problem is Miami plays the Mets tougher than anybody else that they play. Although they did take two out of three from Baltimore. Thank you, Miami. But they've got, that's it. There's a nine-game homestand where they play three against Oakland, three against Miami, three against Baltimore. And then they go on the road to finish the month in what will be the most important two series, I would think, right now, because I do believe San Diego and Arizona are probably the two biggest threats. The game against St. Louis is going to be important, too. You know, St. Louis is right there. St. Louis is a game behind them right now. So in the standings, the Braves still are holding on to that first wild card. They've won two games in a row. They are game up on the Padres, who are a half a game up on the Diamondbacks, who are a half a game up on the Mets, who are a game up on the Cardinals, who are a game up on the Pirates, who are two games up on the Giants, and again, who are a game up on the Reds. I mean, they are literally between the Nationals have fallen out of it now, nine games out, and really six and a half is probably a lot at this point, too. But from Atlanta to the Cubs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams. There's six and a half games between them. It's crazy. It is a jumbled up National League wild card. But obviously they have to play well this whole time. But heading into that series, they've a four-game set starting on the 22nd of August against San Diego. They've already swept San Diego. So if you want to get the tiebreak, you got to win at least one of those four. And then Arizona, you had to split at the end of that 10-game homestand right after the team meeting. And they split those four against Arizona. So they would have the winner of that series will take the home, will take the tiebreaker for Mets Arizona. And then they finish August with a three-game set against the White Sox, the worst team in all of baseball, who now have lost 17 consecutive games, are on pace to break the 1962 Mets record for losses in a season, if you can believe that. I mean, what a turnaround of a franchise. Two years ago, they were considered the most talented team in the American League. They had all that young talent. I mean, they had Luis Robert, they had Eloy Jimenez, they had Abreu. I mean, they just were loaded, this young, talented team that everybody expected to, you know, win that division year after year. They have completely fallen apart and hit depths that you just can't imagine. They made terrible managerial hires like Tony La Russa, this terrible hire. And they've just fallen apart. 27-84. 27-84. They have 84 losses. Only the Rockies have 70. They are just brutally bad. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls. Want to hear from you football fans, as the Hall of Fame game is coming up tonight and football is back. We'll get into Van Roten, the offensive lineman picked up by the Giants, and what it means for Evan Neal, and still on the PUP list, still dealing with an injury, and obviously just two disaster seasons for him. And hopefully an offensive line that's going to be able to block for Daniel Jones, who yet another former player has come out to defend Daniel Jones and talk about how no one could be successful behind the offensive line of the New York Giants. We'll take a guess on who it was. Someone really invested with the team. 888-808-1019. Nick Monagle here with you on The Fan.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL on CBS game every week on Paramount Plus.
All right, 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. You can also hit me up on Twitter at CMACWFAN. You know, earlier a caller called up and just said the rainbow cookie egg roll is something you have to have at Citi Field. And so I talked about, you know, rainbow cookie being one of my top favorite cookies. So, and then even my guy here, Rami on the other side, said, well, what's your top five cookies? I suppose the world wants to know. So I was thinking about it during the break. Top five cookies, real quick, as we have 4 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to get to some Giants football as we talk about the Giants offensive line protecting for Daniel Jones, added a new piece, and another former teammate coming out in his defense about no one could win with that offensive line. I'm so tired of hearing that. And how he's looked at camp overall. So a Daniel Jones-Giants conversation coming up. But till then, quick little top five cookies, just off the top of my head. Number five, you have to put him in there just because he's a staple. Chocolate chip, right? Chocolate chip. I just put him five easy. He could go higher up this list. I don't know why I put him as a he necessarily, but chocolate chip number five. It easily could be higher, but let's just say chocolate chip number five. Number four. All right, number four, I'm going to go. I'll put the rainbow cookie there at number four. Rainbow cookie number four. Number three, I am a very big fan of macaroons. They are, and you know, because the Olympics being in France and everything, they're on my brain lately. I've been thinking about having a macaroon. I love macaroons. Number three is the macaroon. Number two, favorite top five cookies. Number two is an Oreo. Oreo is a staple cookie. Oreo is like you eat the whole sleeve of, like, you just put it, you put an Oreo, a sleeve of Oreos in front of me and dunk it in a glass of milk. There is nothing better than an Oreo cookie. Like, they are just one of the special. And I'm not, and you know, it's funny too, because as a kid, I never liked the double stuffed. But as I've gotten older, I've opened my mind to the double stuff. I've opened my mind to more cream in between, because I've always liked the cookie of the, like, I want just a little bit. But I don't know. I don't know if it's because, and now I heard the president talk about this, about, not about cookies in general, but like when he was talking about inflation and everything, he's also talking about supermarkets and their downsizing of the product. Maybe it's because regular Oreos have less cream than they did when I was a kid. I don't know. That's plausible that they're charging us, you know, obviously a lot more, but charging us the same and giving us less cream. It's possible. But I'm going to go still, and I'm much more open to the double stuff. Oreo's going to be number two for me. And I'm going to go one. This is a strictly just novelty kind of, as a kid, always having them around for whatever reason. And it just reminds me of my childhood more than anything else. I will go with the Girl Scout Thin Mint. That is my number one cookie, just because it reminds me of my childhood. I, for whatever reason, we always had them around. I think my sister was in the Girl Scouts for a while, but like we always had someone in the neighborhood selling Girl Scout cookies. I just, for whatever reason, always remember them. And Thin Mints was another thing. I like to, when I'm eating cookies, sometimes with Oreos, I dip them. But I really just like to eat however many I'm going to eat and have that like dry mouth so that the glass of milk is like uber refreshing when I finally get to it. I like my cookies like my Aunt Millie used to make me eat dinner. No drink, just eat it all, and then you're allowed to have a drink. I don't know if that's an Italian thing, but my Aunt Millie was like that. She did not, I would be like, I'm thirsty. She's like, after you're done eating. I'm like, so weird. But I kind of like that with cookies and desserts and cakes and stuff. I want like that glass of milk to be like the reward at the end of it, as opposed to like, oh, bite milk. Nope. I wait until I'm completely like, so dry from eating an entire sleeve of cookies that milk is just going to set my mouth off. Do you have a top five cookie?
What the hell did I walk into here?
It's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Someone brought up a rainbow cookie at Citi Field, and I had 4 minutes to kill before getting into Giants at the top of the hour.
What are we doing? What's your family? They don't let you drink? How's that work out?
No, that part of it. I know. Well, that was just when I was a kid.
Don't blame that on Italians. That's you.
Well, you said it's my family.
Well,
my family's Italian.
I don't think it's the Italian part of it.
Well, she was the very, very Italian part of my family.
I'm just saying, I think that's your aunt.
In summers, I was, my mom would drop me off at my Aunt Millie's house. I would spend the days of the summer at my Aunt Millie's house when my mother would go to work, and I would have lunches a lot there, obviously. And she used to always make me tuna sandwiches for whatever reason. I remember tuna on Italian bread was like lunch 3 times a week. Which is not a problem.
No, that sounds good.
But I couldn't have a drink with it. She would say, finish the sandwich, and then I'll
I'm just saying, I think she sounds like a lovely woman. I'm sure, yeah, but I think it's your aunt. It's not because she's Italian.
And I didn't say it was. I said, yeah. I don't know if it is an Italian
thing. Telling you, I don't think it is.
You've never heard that before?
I've never heard that before, no.
How about Coke in your wine? You ever hear about a little Coca-Cola in your red wine? Never heard of that either?
No. Yeah. I don't know if that's a thing. I've never heard that, no.
Okay.
No, sorry.
Right, so
cookies?
Yeah, top five. Just give me top two cookies.
I don't know. I like chocolate chip cookies. That's usually at the top.
That's an easy, lazy answer.
It is. It's very much so. I will say this. The regular Oreo is fine. I'm the golden Oreo. That's the one.
Really?
Yes. But that's simply because I'm not a big chocolate guy. Uh-huh. I do like vanilla, though.
Yeah.
And the golden Oreo is perfect.
It doesn't have a vanilla taste to me.
Nah, it doesn't have the chocolate taste. No, and that's the part of the Oreo that I don't love.
Well, then I would imagine you'd have a real problem with Oreos.
No, it's nothing. I mean, the whole thing is fine, but it's too much.
You don't like the chocolate part?
It's too much. It's too much. So I wouldn't grab an Oreo. No, it's too much.
You really wouldn't grab? Oh, my God.
It's fine. Don't look. No, no, no. Stop. Don't make it seem like if you're putting that in front of me, am I going to eat an Oreo? I'm going to look at it and go, well, please, I can't. No. But if you've given me options, it's not the first thing I'm grabbing.
Okay.
Just a little too much chocolate for me.
All right, but chocolate chip is a good amount.
Yes. Yes, it is. Because it's got more of the cookie involved in it. And that's the part that I like.
Do you remember those like very soft Entenmann chocolate chips, the little small guys in that? Like the
boxes? Those are good. Back in the day when I was a kid, I was big on, I can't do this now, but because I can't drink milk now. But like back in the day, we'd take the Chips Ahoy.
Yeah.
Smash them up.
Sure.
With the milk, but not a lot of milk. So it was almost like it was like a paste.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to do that as a kid.
And then would eat it with a spoon?
Yeah, yeah. And almost wound up being like a...
That's weird.
Almost kind of like an ice cream, but without the ice cream aspect.
You know, it's funny you said ice cream and mushing things up, because I had a buddy who, no joke, would take a tub of ice cream, whatever, you know, like a normal tub, pint, no, bigger than a pint, whatever the tub is, gallon ice cream, I have no idea, vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
And he would dump it into a bowl. And then he would take half of an apple pie and throw it into the bowl. And he would mix it with his hands and then put it back in the tub and freeze it and make apple pie ice cream.
You know what? That's actually a brilliant idea.
Yeah. Like, it's weird.
Now you can buy that. But back then, I feel like that was probably not a flavor you could get.
He would take vanilla ice cream and apple pie and crumble it all up, mix with his hands in ice cream, and then put it back in. And he would, you know, it was like, the weird part was like, the ice cream kind of melts while you're doing it. It's weird.
Yeah,
then
but that's actually brilliant.
And then refreeze it and have apple pie ice cream.
Because you got to refreeze it, because if you're eating it at the time, it's going to be a mess, and it's just going to be a bowl of, slop.
He would refreeze it and then have apple pie ice cream in his freezer whenever he wanted.
I give him a lot of credit for the dedication on that, because I don't think I'd be able to follow through. It'd be a good idea, but like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to do it.
Just have a piece of apple pie and put a scoop of vanilla.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you don't want to deal with the whole thing, but to be able to go through with it, that's determination.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. I'm impressed.
True.
I didn't have this kind of dedication to.
Well, you were mashing up, making Oreo paste.
That's fair. I would make the paste with the chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. The Chips Ahoy usually, because they're a little harder. They're a little bit harder. The Entenmann stuff is good, but that's, you got to eat that. The soft stuff, even the chewy Chips Ahoy, right?
They weren't my favorite, but I remember, like, I'm trying to think of different types of.
Yeah, you'd have to eat those. The hard ones are the only ones you can mash up, because everything else didn't mash properly.
Yeah, but I disagree. I need milk with the cookies. I got to chug it. Look, and then there was nothing better than like when you would take a big gulp of the milk, and there would be like, especially with the hard Chips Ahoy, like a couple of the hard chocolate chips would fall off and be at the bottom of the milk. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, see, that's good stuff. And again, as a kid, I drank milk, you know, all the time.
Right.
I haven't had milk. And now if you gave it to me, honestly, I think I'd retch. I can't do it. Even the thought of it would make me.
You'd retch from the texture in your mouth?
Probably. I don't like milk. I don't even put it in coffee. Like, I don't like milk. I did as a kid. I don't anymore.
You're a strange dude, man.
Well, no kidding. Well, but I don't think
it's nothing but grilled chicken and salad. And like, it would be, I thought you were going to say, as I've gotten older, my stomach gives me issues. Not that the
a text, little bit.
Like I would maybe vomit that's, in my mouth.
Maybe
from
that's
putting,
maybe that's part of it. So it's almost like, you know, you drink too much tequila and you can't have. So maybe that's it, because I don't like Bacardi, it does mess me up.
Yeah, Bacardi Limon is the one.
There's always that one, right?
Yeah, so can't even smell Bacardi Limon.
It does mess me up.
Yeah.
Not, but I don't know how bad, because I can have ice cream, but the thought of milk, no.
I hear you. I felt like I was going to say something else funny, and it's completely out of the brain.
See, I messed you up with
what
my little...
What were we just talking about?
Cookies? Milk?
Yeah. Oreos. Oh, yeah, no, the one moment I remember, for whatever reason, it's not that interesting a story, I guess. I have a moment that, for whatever reason, I remember so well. Like, there is a moment, because it reminded me of Entenmann cookies and a glass of milk, but in my brief time of, I think this is right around high school. It's high school, because it was after football practice, when I was really into wrestling for a brief time with The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. I've gotten back into
professional wrestling.
Professional wrestling.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I remember a day I came back from a rainy football practice. I was covered in mud. I took a shower, and whatever, something was going to happen in Raw that night that I was looking forward to. And I had my room was in the basement, and I have a vivid memory of having my hair still wet from the shower, a plate with one of those Entenmann cookies with the little chocolate balls on top. You know that like sort of semi-glazed chocolate donut with the little like the powdered sugar on top, but the little balls that would sit on top. No, like not cinnamon. It was chocolate. It was like a crumb, but they were like
the Entenmann ones with the crumb cake.
Yeah, but it wasn't
donut?
Like a crumb cake. It was like a donut with like the little
I think it
donut
was crumb.
Balls on it, kind of like these donut things on it with like powdered sugar on it, and a glass of milk in my hand. And I swear, I don't know why, but this moment of like putting the glass in my mouth and biting it while I open the door, going downstairs with that donut and a glass of milk to go watch Raw, is a moment that for whatever reason is like just imprinted on my mind that pops in my head every once in a while. And I remember it as well as I remember anything else in my life.
I got to tell you were right, though. This wasn't...
No, it's not that interesting.
No, it's not that interesting.
3:08. Really late for the update. I'm sure you'll get more fun tidbits than a weird moment in a glass of milk that sticks with me 25 years later. 888-808-1019. Here's Marco.